The governments that come and go are implementing violence on us. Violence is not to have work. Violence is not having medicine, not having anything to eat. Receiving a club in the head is not the biggest violent act.
Es más violento la violencia moral.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Pauline Bartolone with Tomás Elias Chef in Buenos Aires.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
Free Speech Radio News is made possible in part by an underwriting grant from the Graduate Student Organization at Stony Brook University. This edition of Free Speech Radio News will be rebroadcast tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. here at WUSB Stony Brook.
Where it's now 6 o'clock p.m., time once again for Off the Wall. And a good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you for the next hour, between 6 and 7 every Tuesday evening. We do this little shindig here on WUSB in Stony Brook, where we bring up issues that affect people from all over the world. And we get to hear from people all over the world, too, which is great. You know, people are listening all around the globe. We get email, we get comments. And hopefully tonight we'll get some pledges because, yes, we are in the fall fundraiser, which basically the fall fundraiser here exists for the purpose of making up for what we didn't get to during the spring fundraiser. So, in other words, if we had made the goal in the spring, we wouldn't be doing this now. So, for those of you who didn't pledge in the spring, this is your fault. This is because you didn't pledge, we have to do this again. That's okay, you know, it's all good. We're going to get there one way or another. And our goal is a meager one. In fact, I dare say we could reach it tonight if everybody called in, but I know everybody's not going to call in. Because a lot of people listen to the show on the net, and they listen to it later. But we're going to have a way that everybody can participate. Our phone number for future reference, or if you just want to call right away, 631-632-9872, spells WUSB, 631-632-9872, and we have all kinds of exciting packages and things. But first, let's get the weekly tribute to Tommy Chong out of the way. It's not that I want to rush through this, but it's just we have so many things to take care of today. It's a fundraising show. And, we just don't have 6 or 7 minutes to be rolling around on the floor laughing at Cheech and Chong right now. So we're going to do something that is really quick and not all that funny so that, we don't get too carried away. And then once that's over, we're going to come back and continue with the rest of Off the Wall here on WUSB.
Hey there, swinging bachelors. Tired of the steady drip, drip, drip of gonorrhea? Well then, Peter Rooter could be just what you've been looking for.
Peter Rooter, that's the name, you just flush your troubles
down the drain.
Rotten Peter, rotten Peter, rotten Peter.
Okay, well, I said it was going to be short, and I said it wasn't going to be that funny. Keep in mind, this is 1970s humor. And for those of you who don't know, Tommy Chong was the one who said, down the drain. So now you know his voice. And for those who also don't know why we're doing that, it's sort of a tribute to a guy who was sent to prison for selling bongs on the internet. Yeah, you can go to prison now for selling bonds. You don't have to sell drugs. You can just sell things that could be used for drugs, and you can go to prison, especially if you have a career of making fun of authority figures and, in their eyes, glorifying drug use. It's thought crime, isn't it? All right. Well, we have all kinds of news stories, as always, that we want to get to. But first, let me give out the important information, because it is important information. We have a goal to reach. Our goal, believe it or not, if you listen to the other radio station, you might find this almost funny, how low our goal is. But it's also something that that should prove to you the importance of every single individual person out there. Because you can help us get to that goal so much faster here than at that other place. And, you know, it's hard to get by at any non-commercial radio station these days. It's just gotten so much more difficult. Things are mounting in cost. There's less support from all kinds of other areas. You have to have listener support, or you don't have anything. Of course, we've always had the listener support, but we need to count on them for more things as radio stations are swallowed up and threatened in all kinds of different ways, and as alternative voices become ever fewer. Anyway, to make it simple, but first let me tell you what the goal is. The goal for the entire marathon, which lasts until, I believe, next Tuesday, that's it. The entire goal is $10,000. Yeah, that's it. That's not the goal for tonight. That's not the goal for the show. That's the goal for the entire thing. And we're already up to about 4,000, which is great, thanks to the Dillon Marathon on Sunday, which was awesome. We have this goal of $10,000 so that we can get to where we need to be at this particular point in time to keep the station going for another year. And that just takes a few people calling in. We have a couple of special 2600 related premiums that we're offering tonight as a special incentive. Now, keep in mind, pledges of $35 and $50 also get you various WUSB items. I believe a $35 pledge gets you a WUSB t-shirt. A $50 pledge gets you a long sleeve shirt. But in addition to that, if you pledge $50, you will get... Are you ready? Okay, because last time I did this, people weren't ready and they got all confused. All right. Pay attention. For $50, not only will you get the corresponding item that the WUSB offers, but you will get from 2600 a hooded sweatshirt. And yeah, I know when we first gave away the hooded sweatshirts, we were going into summertime, so there wasn't much of a demand for it. Let me tell you, these things are getting very popular now. I've even seen some of them being worn, and they look pretty stylish. That's for a pledge of $50. Hooded sweatshirt, you know, it's got the hood and everything. It's got a 2600 logo on the front and a little emblem on the back, which is really kind of neat. Or for $50, you can get an autographed copy of our documentary movie called Freedom Downtime. What that is a two-hour documentary on the hacker movement, or actually the hacker world and the Free Kevin movement, Kevin Mitnick, a case that we talked about for many years on the other radio program. And you've probably heard about it. A lot of people have heard the name Kevin Mitnick who have nothing to do with the hacker community. You know, you walk down the street. I guarantee you walk down any street and you ask five people who Kevin Mitnick is, and one of them will probably know. And I think that's just amazing that the word got out so much. So you'll get an autographed copy. My autograph, by the way. Yeah, just let's make sure that's clear. It's my autograph on the Freedom Downtime video for a pledge of $50. Or if you want to pledge $100... you'll get both. You'll get both the sweatshirt and the autographed videotape, plus whatever WUSB offers for that amount as well. So it's a good deal. It really is. But as we like to say here at the radio station, it's not what you're getting in return for what you pledge. It's the fact that you're investing in this place and keeping it going. That's what matters. That's what's really important. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. We also have a toll-free number somewhere. Oh, here it is. 1-800-394-WUSB. That's 1-800-394-9872. In case you're in a place where you can't make a toll call, even though toll calls cost about 10 cents these days anyway. And, of course, the 800 number isn't going to work from overseas. So if you're overseas, you really have to call us on our regular line, country code 1, 631-632-9872. 9872. And we really would like to hear from you. We have those special deals, and hopefully we'll get a strong showing. Maybe we can take some phone calls later on as well. Let's look at what's going on in the news, and then we can move on from there. All right, everybody ready for this? Because, as always, the news is filled with all kinds of shocking things, annoying things, other things as well. Let's see, where do we start? Thank you. We have someone to thank already. Thanks to Greg from Georgia. Thank you very much for your generous pledge there. And yeah, that's the other advantage. Assuming you want it, assuming you know you're not running from the authorities or something, we will thank you on the air. Not your last name. We don't give out your last name or your address or anything like that. So don't worry about that. We'll just say something like, "Thank you, Greg from Georgia." You're proving to us that people from Georgia are really cool and really generous. See, now you can do that for your state. You know what state could use that right now? California could use that. Yeah, that's right. If you're in California, I think, you owe it to your state to call us now and pledge something because, man, everybody's looking at California and saying, what a bunch of freaks, you know? Arsonists running around everywhere, setting fire to, you know, to all the land, people losing their homes. Horrible, horrible place. And, of course, we know that's not entirely true. 631-632-WUSB. Of course, if your house is burning, don't risk your life to call us. Get in your car, go somewhere, call us from a safe place. That's fair, right? Anyway, let's look at the news. It may mean more homes will burn, but exhausted firefighters in the San Diego area are being pulled from fire lines. Now, why are they being pulled? Well, they're being pulled because they're tired. They've been working 3 days straight with little or no sleep. Can you imagine fighting a fire for 3 days straight? The kinds of dreams you might be having? Anyway, the fire chief says his objective now is not saving homes. If you can believe that, that's how serious things have gotten out there. The objective is not saving homes, but instead making sure there's nobody in them. Meanwhile, in the Chatsworth section of Los Angeles, fire crews beat back flames that had threatened hundreds of homes, but crews in the San Bernardino National Forest were unable to save 20 structures there. More than 1,500 houses have been destroyed in 5 separate fires scattered around Southern California. 15 people have died. And I gotta tell you, it's really something to see. See that happen. Imagine what it was, what it must be like to live through that. Of course, we probably all know somebody out there. And unfortunately, it's also testament to the power of the individual. We always talk about the power of the individual as a positive thing. Here we see the power of the individual as a negative thing. All it takes is one jackass lighting a match and setting a forest on fire, and all of a sudden you have calamity of biblical proportions. And yeah, everybody has the power. Everybody has the power to really mess things up around them, to hurt other people. But everyone also has the power to do something good and to affect people in a positive way. I think it's all about attention getting, you know, because people say, hey, that's my fire. I'm proud of that one. I started that one. You know, that's wouldn't happen without me. My God. Anyway, California is burning. Worst disaster ever to hit that state, according to the governor. The real governor, not the actor governor, who still isn't in office. I can only imagine what he would be doing right now. Probably launching torpedoes. You hear, one of the fires, and this isn't getting very much publicity. For some reason, they're keeping this one quiet. Well, okay, you might have heard about the moronic hunter that shot up a flare or something because he was lost, I don't know, and he started a fire that way. Okay, that's just an idiot. But then the military started one of the fires. Yeah, the military was firing live ordnance at one of the bases out there. Every few miles is another base. But they fired some live ordnance, and it caught fire and started one of the forest fires. Yeah, they're keeping that quiet because, hey, it's the military. You don't criticize the military. you don't imply that they might do something wrong. So everybody's getting together in California to make disaster a reality. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Phone lines are open. Again, a pledge of $50 gets you a 2,600 t-shirt. Wrong. 2,600 sweatshirt. Hooded sweatshirt. Yeah. Get you through the winter. Make you look kind of, suspicious. Which you probably look anyway if you're interested in getting a 2,600 sweatshirt. And, a different $50 pledge will get you the autographed copy of the videotape, Freedom Downtime. And $100 gets you both. Plus, whatever WUSB has to offer for that price, call our volunteers. They will fill you in on all that information. 631-632-WUSB. Continuing with the news, a day after a series of deadly bombings in Baghdad, the city has been shaken by the sound of more explosions. Iraqi police say at least three mortars exploded in an area across the Tigris River from the headquarters of the U.S.-led coalition. There's no word on casualties or damage. Earlier, a car bomb exploded near a police station on a major street in the city of Fallujah. At least four people were killed. And also today, in the northern city of Mosul, the editor of an independent Iraqi newspaper was shot and killed. Yesterday's series of suicide bombings in Baghdad left some three dozen people dead. President Bush has blamed both loyalists to Saddam Hussein and foreign terrorists for the recent attacks. I don't know if you caught this, but he answered some questions with the press yesterday and said that this was actually a sign of our success. I don't know the exact words he used, but he said that these kinds of acts prove that the enemies are getting all nervous and upset that freedom is taking hold. You get the feeling maybe he hasn't quite quit the drugs yet? I mean, what kind of logic is that? Well, I guess by that logic, California is really prospering and We're making all kinds of progress there because all these people want to set fires. I mean, you know, there's something seriously wrong over there. There's something seriously wrong with the country that we sent all the military in. It's not working. Now, you may debate what to do now. You may debate what the next step should be, whether we should be pulling out or moving more people in or how we should be dealing with the citizens there. But one thing you can't say is that this is a sign of success. Well, he said it anyway, and very strange, very weird. And we have something else I'd like to get to. But first, let's finish the news, and something related to this, which I really find upsetting. Almost as upsetting as looking at the switchboard here and not seeing a single phone call coming in. What's up with that? We know you're out there. You called last time. So call this time, 631-632-9872. Remember, the power of the individual. One person calling right now. One person calling and pledging any of the amounts that we mentioned will make a lot of people here happy. It will bring us closer to our goal. I know some people are banging their heads on the table now because they're listening to this in the future. And they say, well, if only I was listening to this live, I could be calling in. Well, we have a plan for you guys, too, which we'll get to a little later. But right now I'm talking to the people who are listening right now, between the hours of 6 and 7 p.m. on Tuesday, October 28, 2003. Yes, you. And it doesn't matter if you're driving in a car. It doesn't matter if you're listening on the Internet somewhere or sitting in the comfort of your home with the radio on. You have the power. The question now is, do you have the will? 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. We take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, all that jazz. Well, President Bush is hosting a White House dinner tonight for Muslims observing Ramadan. It's a traditional... Hang on, this is so light here, I can't even read it properly. A traditional iftar dinner. Is that the right way to pronounce that? I hope so. For those breaking the holy month's required daily fast. The president says he wants the world to know America welcomes Muslims, as it welcomes adherents of all religions, and that the war on terror is not a war against Islam. On a visit to Indonesia last week, Muslim leaders asked Bush why Americans see all Muslims as terrorists. Bush denies that's the case. He says Americans think terrorists are evil people who have hijacked a great religion. Oh, what a soundbite. Hijacked a great religion. At a Rose Garden news conference, Bush also again repudiated the remarks of a top Pentagon official who characterized the war as one between a Christian country and Satan. Well, you know, maybe that's why people are getting that impression. You hear about this guy? You know, one of the leaders, one of the people that's leading troops, a top Pentagon official, this guy William Boykin. Why is someone like that even still in a remote position of power? You know, that's what I don't get at all. Saying that, we're fighting against Satan, and maybe the people that are on the other end of that remark might view it in a different context. Anyway, he just says that the Pentagon's investigating that. Won't take any real position. And what else do we have here? It's not the kind of delivery a pizza customer had in mind. The delivery man who showed up at a San Antonio home was actually a police officer and wound up delivering the customer to jail. Police say the man called a Little Caesars pizza outlet and ordered three large pies. Turns out in Texas that's a felony. And he will be serving... No, wait, there's more. Little Caesars employees were preparing the order when another call came in from the owner of a stolen credit card. He said he had called his credit card company to report the theft and was told the card had just been used at the pizza place. Wow. Police were called, and Little Caesars provided a company uniform for... they're ready for this, aren't they? They provided a company uniform for an officer to use, along with a delivery bag and empty pizza boxes. Which answers the question, did the guy get a pizza? No, he didn't get a pizza. He got an empty pizza box. Three. The disguised officer... Why do they even have to go through this? You know? I guess they had to make the purchase complete or something, so... Anyway, the disguised officer delivered the pizza and arrested the customer as soon as he signed the receipt. Signing the receipt, that is the crime right there. Police say he'd stolen the card from a neighbor's car. And that makes the Associated Press. That's the news of the day. Unbelievable. All right, 631-632-9872. Phone line's still open. We have different pledge levels. And again, we're not limiting people to particular numbers. You can pledge $10, you can pledge $25, you can pledge $1,000, you can pledge anything you want. Every little bit helps us get to our goal. But we do need to see those phone calls coming in. And nothing makes us happier than to see a lot of phone calls coming in. Nothing makes us sadder than to see those phone calls not coming in. Yeah. Sad people. Sad people around here right now. And you can change that. You can change that with your bright, cheery voice calling us and adding your name to the list of people that support this place. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Even if you called in the spring, don't feel bashful about calling again. You're welcome to. And by keeping this place going, you'll be keeping programs like Off the Wall and all the other great shows we have here coming your way. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we've been doing since 1977. And there are so few outlets, there are so few radio outlets out there. You might be sitting in your house in, Boise, Idaho, okay? Yeah. You might be over there saying, why should I be pledging to a college radio station clear on the other side of the country that I can't pick up on my radio, that I listen to this program and nothing else? Well, let me tell you something. Radio is a very threatened resource, no matter where you are, whether you're in Idaho, whether you're in California, whether you're in New York, Hawaii, wherever you happen to be. even in other countries, you must know radio is a scarce commodity, and people fight over it. When there's revolutions and coups, they go to the radio station first, because that's how you reach people. Now, looking around here, looking at the radio dial, it's a story of sadness. And I'm sure you can see that no matter where you are, it's a story of sadness. What's happened to radio? I mean, just let's touch on commercial radio just for a second. Commercial radio used to be so much different than it is now. It was never quite my cup of tea, but it had some personality. There were people that injected their own uniqueness into the mix and made you want to listen to one station over another. But now they're all owned by the same people. Or enough of the small group of people that owns the vast majority of stations that you can't really tell the difference. What's Clear Channel up to now? Over 1,500 radio stations? I mean, that's insane. 20 years ago, I don't think you could have owned more than 5. Now, 1,500 by one entity. All right, but that's commercial radio. All right, you may have written that off a long time ago anyway. But let's look at what's happening with non-commercial radio. And how that's also being affected by this. Here, right here, in this area, looking around, there used to be so many more voices in the non-commercial band, which is that area below 92 on the FM dial in the United States. There was a station at CW Post College, which is no more. Well, actually, it exists now as an NPR affiliate. Kicked all the students out. Same thing happened out in Southampton. WPVX used to be a great station. Kicked all the students out. WSHU, the station up in Connecticut, used to be part of Sacred Heart University with a bunch of students. Now there's the 8 million watt NPR station that can reach the moon. They probably make more money than a lot of the commercial stations do. So, as you can see, it's encroached into the non-commercial dial as well. This expansionism, this commercialism. And the programming might be a little bit better, and there might not be commercials. But there also aren't a lot of voices that used to be heard. And there also aren't opportunities for people to become involved. So, yeah, if you're in some other part of the country or some other part of the world, it's in your interest to keep those voices alive, regardless of where they are, because there are so few of them. And if they're not here, you won't have the opportunity to find radio programs like this one or other radio stations that might air things that you want. And then what happens? You know, you have to listen to CDs and radio programs of the past and things like that, and that's it. So radio has also changed. You know, it's become more of a worldwide phenomenon so that people can listen around the world. And that's great. You know, that's great that we're able to actually be on the internet now and have people listen to us from all over the planet and write into us and tell us their views and things like that. That's great. And it also allows more people to take part in keeping this place going. But we have to take advantage of that. We have to use that strength that the linking that we're developing through this. And we have to keep the place going. Because without it, I mean, this place could easily turn into the exact same thing all over again. You know, it could turn into another one of these network stations that just broadcast satellite music. And don't think they didn't try. Don't think they didn't try to get this place to be that. Because we have such a large contingent of people that over the past 26 years have put together all kinds of unique radio programs and brought together all kinds of communities of people. Because of those people, because of that strength, we were able to resist and stay independent. And that kind of spirit simply has to be supported regardless of where it is. It's become like that. Non-commercial radio has become such a scarce resource, independent non-commercial radio, that the stations are so few and far between. Look around locally. and tell me what you find. I'd like to know. And here in the New York metropolitan area, we're actually pretty lucky. We have some decent stations. We have a few left, but not nearly as many as we used to. And I shudder to think what the next 20 years might hold if things continue the way they're going. Your support, your voice, obviously helps us. It also is a vote that we're doing the right thing. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. That is our phone number. And again, we have different pledge levels. Whatever you can afford, take all the credit cards and all kinds of other things like that. So please make those phone calls light up. They're still not lighting up? Oh, come on. Is the transmitter on? Is the internet working? We need that shot in the arm here. We only have 29 minutes left, so you can be that shot in the arm. 631-632-9872 or 1-800-394-9872. Okay, this is an interesting story. First of all, I think we need... Thank you for that call. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Two calls on the line. See, now, this is what it takes. This has brightened the mood around here considerably. We have five lines. Do you know what happens when all five lines ring at once? The general manager gets a call at his home. That's what happens. Yeah. And that doesn't happen very often. It's a moment where everybody celebrates. 631-632-9872. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. This place is, it's very easy for individuals to make a difference. That's where I learned the power of individuality. You know, I learned how you can be creative and do different things. And that's what got me into the whole hacker world, which some people think is a bad thing. Okay, fine, whatever, but we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. And probably wouldn't be doing a lot of other things that we do right now were it not for the inspiration that came out of WUSB. And you can only imagine the things in the future that are being inspired in this place right now because that atmosphere exists. Yeah, it's quite possible. If you've read 2600, it's quite possible you never would have seen it were it not for this place, because one creative thing leads to another creative thing. 631-632-WUSB, and you have the power to keep that spirit alive. 631-632-9872, 1-800-394-9872. Okay, weather alert. And this is very important, folks. This is very important. All right? I don't want to panic anybody. Well, okay, maybe a little bit, but this is important. It's very important, okay? It's a weather alert for the biggest storm in many years that's coming our way. And you might say, well, I'm not in the New York metropolitan area. It doesn't affect... No, it affects you, because it affects the entire planet. That's right. It's a solar storm. The Earth is in the path of a solar-ejected cloud. Now, it's funny, because I saw a story about this last week, that a solar storm was about to hit Earth. I kind of like stories like that, where Earth is affected, instead of just the United States or just New York or something like that. Earth is directly in the path of this. Well, okay, that was last week, and apparently that didn't cause much mayhem at all. But now, all of a sudden, there's a much bigger one that's on its way over here. One of the largest known solar flares erupted from the sun on Tuesday, that's today, heralding a storm of superheated gas that could hit Earth within a day. Okay, so hurry up with those phone calls, please. Who knows what that superheated gas is going to do to us? Could demagnetize your credit card, for one thing. The outburst was classified as, and this is the scary part, it really is. The outburst was classified an X17.2 flare. It sounds scary, I know, but it'll get scarier when I explain that. It's the third largest on record. Now, the two solar storms that they were warning about last week were between X1 and X5. X1 and X5. This is X17.2. Solar flares unleash X-ray blasts and proton showers that have the ability to affect satellite radio communications and Earth-based electrical systems within minutes. One X-class burst in March 1989, for example, knocked out power for millions of people in Canada. Flares are also often associated with coronal mass ejections, also known as CMEs, eruptions from the sun that, if headed our way, usually reach our planet in several days. The high-energy solar winds produced by a CME can generate geomagnetic storms when they interact with Earth's magnetic field, often increasing displays of the northern and southern lights, which is kind of cool. As this CME is aimed directly towards Earth, it is possible that the geomagnetic activity will be strong enough to disrupt satellite communications or power grids. Space weather forecasters. I want to see those people. I think there should be a spot in every newscast for the space weather. You know, the guy has like a globe or a map of the universe, something like that, with a forecast for space. Space weather forecasters. Anyway, they expect this particularly fast-moving cloud to arrive midday Wednesday. I'm not sure what time zone they're in, though. That's kind of important. Researchers classify solar flares using three categories. C for weak, M for moderate, and X for strong. So not only is this a 17.2, but it's also in the highest category. The largest flare on record, one of two known X-20s, occurred on April 2nd, 2001. Ah, but that one did not eject an Earth-directed CME, as the one today did. So if you didn't notice anything on April 2nd, 2001, that's probably why. Anyway, space weather forecasters say this spate of strong solar flares is unusual because it is not following normal patterns of solar behavior. The sun follows an 11-year cycle of activity. The last peak took place in 2000, so some interesting solar weather on the way. Don't say we didn't warn you. 631-632-9872 is our phone number for your pledges of support for this radio station. Now, we're going to get to some listener mail in a moment, but I wanted to read this story, too, from the Washington Post, because this is what I find to be really upsetting, and it relates to the whole Bush-Iraq thing. And something that I've brought up a few times on this radio program, you might have noticed from reading the newspapers or seeing the news on occasion that a whole lot of people are dying over there. A whole lot of people from this country are dying over there. You notice that? And unlike the way it was portrayed at the beginning, the people who are protesting against the war, the anti-war people, seem to be a lot more concerned about those people who are getting killed than the ones who sent them over there. And now this. The Bush administration has banned news coverage and photography of dead soldiers' homecomings on all military bases. Now, you might recall, we mentioned here on this radio program that unlike during the war, when the war was officially declared over by Bush, the names of the people who were dying were not being released. Just, you know, well, four soldiers died today, two died yesterday, you know. We never heard who they were. We never saw interviews with their families, just like we did when some were captured or wounded in the early days of the war. But now, whenever something happens to somebody, we just get a number. We don't get a name anymore. Now, the media seemed to have no problem with this. You know, they went on to, you know, Kobe Bryant stories and all the other things that were important to them. And, yeah, occasionally they'd mention how many people died in Iraq today. But now we see that this whole thing is being strengthened by an actual ban of any kind of news coverage. Now, listen to this. In March, which pretty much tracks to the time period where this stopped. When the Iraq War ended, a directive arrived from the Pentagon at U.S. military bases. There will be no arrival ceremonies for or media coverage of deceased military personnel returning to or departing from Ramstein in Germany Air Base or Dover, Delaware Base to include interim stops, the Defense Department said, referring to the major ports for the returning remains. Now, Dover Air Force Base, which has the military's largest mortuary, has had restrictions for 12 years, but others may not have been familiar with the policy. However, according to a spokeswoman, this year we've really tried to enforce it. President Bush's opponents say he is trying to keep the spotlight off the fatalities in Iraq. This administration manipulates information and takes great care to manage events, and sometimes that goes too far, said Joe Lockhart, who as White House press secretary joined President Bill Clinton at several ceremonies for returning remains. For them to sit there and make a political decision because this hurts them politically, I'm outraged. Pentagon officials deny that, speaking on condition of anonymity, which really adds to their cause. They said the policy covering the entire military followed a victory over a civil liberties court challenge to the restrictions at Dover, and relieves all bases of the difficult logistics of assembling family members and deciding which troops should get which types of ceremony. Oh, come on! Logistics, give me a break. A White House spokesman said Bush has not attended any memorials or funerals for soldiers killed in action during his presidency, as his predecessors had done. The Pentagon has previously acknowledged the effect on public opinion of the grim tableau of caskets being carried from transport planes to hangars or hearses. In 1999, the then chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Henry H. Shelton, said a decision to use military force is based in part on whether it will pass the Dover test as the public reacts to fatalities. Ceremonies for arriving coffins, not routine during the Vietnam War, became increasingly common and elaborate later, after U.S. soldiers fell in Beirut, Grenada, Panama, the Balkans, Kenya, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. The military often invited in cameras for elaborate ceremonies for the returning remains at places like Andrews Air Force Base, Dover, Ramstein, and elsewhere, sometimes with the president attending. President Carter attended ceremonies for troops killed in Pakistan, Egypt, and the failed hostage rescue mission in Iran. President Reagan participated in many memorable ceremonies, including a service at Camp Lejeune in 1983 for the 241 Marines killed in Beirut. During President George Bush the First's term, there were ceremonies at Dover and Andrews for Americans killed in Panama, Lebanon, and aboard the USS Iowa. But in early 1991, at the time of the Persian Gulf War, the Pentagon said there would be no more media coverage of coffins returning to Dover, the main arrival point. A year earlier, Bush was angered when television networks showed him giving a news briefing on a split screen with caskets arriving. I remember that, actually. But the photos of the caskets arriving at Andrews and elsewhere continued to appear throughout the Clinton administration. In 1996, Dover made an exception to allow filming of Clinton's visit to welcome the 33 caskets with remains from Commerce Secretary Ronald Brown's plane crash. In 1998, Clinton went to Andrews to see the coffins of Americans killed in the terrorist bombing in Nairobi. And Dover also allowed public distribution of photos of the homecoming caskets after the terrorist attack on the USS Cole in 2000. The photos continued for the first 2 years of the current Bush administration from Ramstein and other bases. Then, on the eve of the Iraq invasion, word came from the Pentagon that other bases were to adopt Dover's policy of making the arrival ceremonies off-limits. So, it seems really clear to me that they want to bury this as much as possible. They don't want names released. They don't want pictures released. They don't want ceremonies to be had. And I just wonder, you know, how much trouble can you get into if you defy them and start reporting this information, you know, and start taking pictures of caskets coming back and getting those names. I mean, you know, I think it's important for people to know that there are human beings attached to this. And it's just pretty outrageous to me that that we wouldn't be thinking about this, talking about this, having this on the front page of the papers all the time. I think there's people that listen to us that actually are over in the Mideast. We get letters sometimes from people who are serving in the military, and I'd certainly like to hear feedback as far as what you're thinking right now. And you can, of course, write to us, otw@2600.com. And sometimes we even read letters on the air. Okay, our phone number. We really need to bring some calls in. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872, or 1-800-394-9872. Think about the places where you've heard information like this and ask yourself if that was a commercial entity or a place like this. Commercials keep commercial radio stations on the air. It's kind of like a mandatory fundraiser because you don't get a choice there. You wind up paying every time you buy something. That's right. They have to pay to get those advertisements on the radio, and you have to pay to buy the product in the first place, which has that cost factored in. You can vote for something else by calling us 631-632-WUSB and help us overcome our shortfall from the spring fundraiser. Shortfall of only $10,000, which may not sound like much, but to us it's a whole lot. Makes a big difference. And we're offering a couple of different things, actually a bunch of different things. There's all kinds of possibilities that you can ask about when you call us, 631-632-WUSB. But what we're offering at 2600, this is only for this radio program, is a 2600 sweatshirt for a pledge of $50, a hooded 2600 sweatshirt, which is one of the coolest things that has come out in the hacker world recently, from what I'm told. Or an original autographed copy of the documentary videotape, Freedom Downtime, for a pledge of $50. Or for a pledge of $100, you get both, plus all the different interesting things that WUSB offers. So please, make those phone calls. Make those phone lines light up. They're kind of dead right now. And we only have about 10 minutes left. So we'd really like to see that change. Let's see. What other good news do we have to share? Well, how about this? The U.S. military practices at least twice each week for the nightmare scenario of having to shoot down a civilian airliner hijacked by terrorists. How does that make you feel? That's according to the commander of forces in North America, General Ralph E. Eberhardt. He said a strong set of safeguards are in place to prevent an accidental or unwarranted shootdown of a commercial airplane. Commanders, pilots, and air defense crews are drilled on those procedures as many as four times each week. The rules allow for an order to shoot down a civilian plane only if there is no other option to prevent a September 11th-style attack on the ground. There are authentication procedures for such orders to make sure someone can't just get on the radio and say, "This is the president, I order you to shoot down that plane." Isn't that nice? They're thinking of that? Military jets were in the air during the 2001 attacks, but were too far away to shoot down the planes before they struck the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. Also doesn't do much if, you know, if the person hijacks the plane a half mile from the target. Anyway, airline passengers can be confident that their planes will not be accidentally shot down. only on purpose, according to Eberhardt. I would take issue with anyone who would say the men and women in our armed forces are trigger-happy. I'm more worried that they would be trigger-hesitant than trigger-happy. We have long discussions with people to see if they're ready to do this. Eberhardt says he has never heard of a case where a pilot or missile battery operator was hesitant to shoot down a hijacked airliner. Kind of contradicted himself there, didn't he? Those involved have repeated psychological screening and testing on the procedures to make sure they will follow those rules. The Pentagon created Northern Command in the wake of the 2001 terrorist attacks to coordinate military defense of the United States in response to attacks or natural disasters. Eberhardt's a four-star general from the Air Force. He said the Al-Qaeda terrorist network responsible for the attacks 2 years ago has been seriously damaged. Of course, who knows how many other terrorist networks have sprung up as a result. But to draw a football analogy, as they are prone to do over there in the military, most of the varsity players are gone. In most cases, we're dealing with the junior varsity team or the freshman team. That's according to Eberhardt. Of course, someone should tell him that the junior varsity team or the freshman team becomes the varsity team and eventually professionals. So maybe, you know, the football analogy doesn't really serve to be that optimistic. the fact that there's all kinds of people being recruited, that's cause for concern. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Only have about another 8 minutes or so, so please get those calls coming in. What other news can we read here? How about this? Finland has proposed a new law that would let parents track the movements of their young children via mobile phone, even without their consent, in a move that could set an EU benchmark in privacy and handset use. The proposal is part of a new law on privacy and electronic communications and could still be changed in parliament hearings, although the Nordic countries' coalition government accepted it unanimously last week. Parliament will likely start discussing the issue early in November, but state officials and politicians said it was too early to estimate when the law could be passed. Roughly similar legislation will be a reality in the European Union area in the near future, according to an official. He said other countries may follow the example of Finland, which is home to the world's largest mobile phone maker, Nokia, because the proposal is based on the EU's directive on privacy and electronic communications. Now, according to the draft, individuals aged 15 or older could only be tracked after giving their consent, but for children under 15, such consent could also be given by their parents or guardians. And in emergency situations, people can still be tracked without their consent, regardless of their age. That's because the two mobile operators, which is Telia Sonera and Elisa, currently offer positioning services which locate the phone user based on the mobile base station he or she is nearest to. Telia Sonera says the positioning works from between 100 meters in congested areas to 20 kilometers in less populated areas. So that phone you're carrying around with you could be a tracking device that people can easily find you with, or authorities anyway. Something to keep in mind. Sometimes people don't want to be found, you know, sometimes people like to be hidden for one reason or another. And it's good to know if there's something else going on. An 11-year-old Oklahoma girl has been suspended from a public school because officials said her Muslim headscarf violates dress code policies. Board officials met Friday to discuss the fate of suspended sixth grader Nashala Tala Hearn, who was asked to leave school in the eastern Oklahoma town of Muskogee on October 1st because she refused to remove her headscarf. School officials instituted a dress code in 1997 prohibiting the wearing of hats and other head coverings indoors. Officials said they implemented the code to stem gang-related activity. Well, yeah, a lot of gang-related activity is going to come out of this. She declined to remove her headscarf, saying it would violate the way she observes her religion. Officials at the school, the Ben Franklin Science Academy, previously summoned her to the office on September 11th to inform her she was no longer allowed to wear the scarf. She had worn it since the school year started a few weeks earlier. A school attorney said federal education rules adopted in 1998 do not allow for exceptions for religious beliefs. As I see it right now, I don't think we can make a special accommodation for religious wear. You treat religious items the same as you would, say, any other item, no better, no worse. Our dress code prohibits headgear, period. He added that under the dress code, a Jewish child would not be allowed to wear a yarmulke, the skullcap traditionally worn by Orthodox Jews. And you know what? This doesn't seem to affect the mainstream religion at all, does it? And I'll bet these are the same people complaining that they can't pray in school anymore. And if they're not, okay, where are those people now? You know? Shouldn't those people be defending this 11-year-old Oklahoma girl for not being able to wear a headscarf? It's a lot more simple than praying, isn't it? Okay. 631-632-WUSB. Phone lines must be broken. That's got to be it, right? Yeah. Hang on. No, they're not broken. They're there. Okay, so there's no excuse. 631-632-WUSB. We have only about 3 or 4 minutes left. I'd really like to see at least one phone call come in that time period. I know we don't cover the entire New York metropolitan area like, some 50,000-watt radio stations in New York City might. But that's no excuse. There's still people listening throughout the internet, and there's people driving around who could easily come to a safe stop and make a phone call. And those are the people we want to hear from, the people who believe that this really does matter, who believe that this radio station should exist for another 25 years. 26 years, yes. And we will, with your support. Oh, look, a phone call, 631-632-WUSB. Thank you so much for that phone call. You see, one person has made me so much happier. Now, can you imagine what two people would do? Yeah, I know, I sound greedy here, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, there are a lot of things that have to be paid for, a lot of things that have to be constantly maintained to keep a radio station running. If you ever tried to run a radio station, you would see this. And since we're one of the few radio stations left with any kind of individuality around here, I think we all benefit from its continued existence. Two phone calls on the line. Thank you very much. 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872, and for those of you without a dime, 1-800-394-9872. That's within the United States, obviously. You can't call toll-free numbers from overseas, at least not that one. But if you are overseas, country code is 1, phone number 631-632-9872. Now, for those of you who are gnashing your teeth because it's the future and you're listening to the show on the net after it's been archived, we've thought of you because you always send us mail. You always write us letters saying, oh, you know, I want to pledge, but, you know, it's after the show, so how do I pledge? And it gets all complicated and confusing. But here's what we're going to do, something special for you guys this time. Since this, the Radiothon is going on for another week, it ends next Tuesday. For those of you that are in Dar es Salaam or something, you know, where you can't get to a phone at this particular time because it's you know, another day or another month or whatever, and it's just not convenient to call between the hours of 6 and 7 Eastern time, we totally understand that. So we'll ask you to call our office and give your information there, and then what I'll do is I'll bring all that information in next week and announce it on this radio program. See how nice that will be? Now, the number to call during the week to give that information out is the 2600 office number, which is country code 1, as always, 631-751-2600, extension 0. 631-751-2600, extension 0. If you call during business hours, you may very well get a human being. If not, you'll get an answering machine where you can leave a phone number where someone can get back to you and take your information, and that way we can get you the premiums that belong to this radio program. These are for people that only listen to this radio program and that listen to it at all different crazy times and want to support the radio station. Well, now you can by doing this. So if you call that number, 631-751-2600, at any other time, extension 0, leave a message so that we can get back to you. I don't suggest people leave their credit card information on any answer machine, although I can tell you with assurance that no one else is going to listen to it. But it's probably best to have someone call you back. We get all your information. You'll get the right premiums that way. It'll be announced next week on this radio program, and hopefully we'll make the goal. But if you're listening now at 6:58 on Tuesday night, call us at 631-632-WUSB. I think that's simple enough. Yeah. Anyway, we have to get out of here. And we'll be back again next week with hopefully good news as far as how many pledges came in. And if you are racing to the phone, you still have a little bit of time. 631-632-WUSB, Emmanuel Goldstein. I'll be back next week. This is the kind of song you can't play on commercial radio. And it's something to remember.
The condolences of every person at Pepsi Cola are with you.
Something to remember. See you next week.
Down. thinking.
This is David Bromberg telling you that you're listening to WUSB in Stony Brook.